We are not here alone in the world. Most things are done at an international level. Does something like DIN, the German Institute for Standardization, make any sense at all? A change in something as seemingly simple as paper formats would result in adjustments right down to the architecture. Crazy, right?
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Welcome back to our little series, Human Beings Are Not Ants, what you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. I'm Amelie, and I'm happy that you've joined me here again today. So, I've told you all what standardization is, what a standard is, and how, when, and why DIN was founded. DIN's main task is to make sure that everything to do with standardization is above board. All the hoops that a standard has to jump through to be called a standard are designed in such a way that in the end they are democratically legitimate and in compliance with antitrust law. I told you a bit about the main criteria that we use to ensure that this is the case, primarily through overseeing the composition of the standards committees, meaning who gets a seat at the table, as many stakeholders as possible, about consensus, about the involvement of public opinion. That's of all of you, even if you do not sit on the standards committees. This happens after a draft is published during the comment phase. I also mentioned that there are various processes in place to deal with disputes. And I told you that DIN is neutral and not passive, and what this can mean in concrete terms. Now, here's the thing. We are not here alone in the world. Most things are done at an international level. Does something like DIN, the German Institute for Standardization, make any sense at all? Yes, and this is why DIN is your voice in technical regulation more broadly, also in the world out there. DIN is Germany's representative member at CEN, the Comité Européen de Normalisation, that's European standardization, and also at ISO, which is international standardization. CEN and ISO are not places, but rather associations, international associations of national standards organizations. And because DIN is a member of CEN and ISO for Germany, this means if you want to get involved at the European and or international level, the way to get there in Germany is through us. This applies to every country in the same way. Every country actually has their own national standards organization. We call this a national standardization body, or NSB for short. Except in the US, where there's more or less one per state. The work on European or international documents is quite similar to the work on strictly or pure DIN documents. The committee structure is also quite similar. In the committee, you often work on multiple documents in the same sector. Some of these are national documents, while others are European or international. Nonetheless, this doesn't mean that you are working at CEN or at ISO, but rather, just as before, you are working at DIN, at the CEN level or at ISO level. So in the work itself, you hardly notice the difference, except that you might get text suggestions from faraway Asia instead of next door, or that European or international documents always require corresponding European or international coordination in addition to our own coordination. We say at DIN that the national committees responsible for European or international work at DIN mirror this work. So we call them mirror committees. For the European or international coordination, someone from the national mirror committee is delegated to introduce the national position there. We refer to this as the national delegation principle. And as you can probably already imagine, all of this coordination can take a while. There are a few more acronyms like DKE, VDE, VDI, CENELEC, IEC, IEEE, etc. If you want, I can confuse and overwhelm you completely, no problem. But that's it for today with process details. I'm not trying to give a university seminar here. And it's not actually as tedious as you may think. There are even standardization thrillers. One of my favorites is the drama surrounding paper formats. Yes, exactly. The famous DIN A4. This thriller is set in the 90s and the issue was which paper format should play the leading role internationally. The choices were our DIN system or the American system. Maybe you're familiar with that. It's slightly more square, has narrower lines, and then has these three holes in the back. In the end, our DIN system prevailed with just a few more votes. This means that in the meantime, the DIN paper format system is now a DIN EN ISO standard. Well, the Americans don't care. First of all, standards are voluntary documents. I will tell you exactly what that means in another episode. They have continued to stick to their formats. But we, meticulous Germans, I can imagine that we would have changed everything if the other format had prevailed. Okay, then we would have different sheets of paper, I mean, so what? And different exercise books for school, for that matter. And different envelopes. And you would have to fold the letter differently to make it fit in the envelope, still no big deal. And we would have to have different clear plastic folders so that this other size paper would fit in there. And then, of course, we would need new binders because otherwise the folders wouldn't fit in them. Binders that are a little deeper, but not as tall. And wait a second, we would need different shelves in the offices so that the binders would fit on them. The shelves would need to be a bit deeper too. Come to think of that, we would also need wider offices because there are other standards, ergonomic standards, that say how much space I need behind me at the desk so that I don't feel cramped. If I feel trapped, I definitely can't work as well. This means that a change in something as seemingly simple as paper formats would result in adjustments right down to the architecture. And this doesn't even include all the printers, copy machines, sorting machines, etc. Crazy, right? Well, I think it's fascinating. Thank goodness we were able to keep all our stuff. And if you're up in your grandma's attic and find an old laminating machine, you could still find everything you need to use it today. Paper, laminating, foils, etc. Because our DIN paper formats have been around since 1922. DIN was founded in 1917 and the paper formats came about in 1922, right from very early on. By the way, there are also DIN B and DIN C paper formats. Ever came across these? I personally have only ever seen the fours, DIN B4 and DIN C4. And these were envelopes. About 50 pieces of DIN A4 paper fit into a DIN B4 envelope. And about 200 pieces of DIN A4 paper fit in a DIN C4 envelope. Makes sense, right? When the pile gets bigger, it gets thicker. Then I need more space in the envelope, and so it needs to be a different format. It's really a very clever system. Well, that's it for today. And that also wraps up the first season of my podcast, Human Beings Are Not Ants. What you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. I hope you enjoyed it and that you have loads of questions for me. I would be thrilled to get your feedback and any questions that may have cropped up. I will do my best to answer these in the next podcast. I'm doing this series for all of you, and you are welcome to help shape it. And now you know, standardization is participation. Be brave and get involved. Give us a call. Until next time, take care and most importantly, stay curious.